Hey there, welcome to this episode of What's the Truth? My name is Jessica Huddle, and I'm your host. Today, we're going to be talking about how repressed emotions impact our physical health. We have special guest, Carrie Cootie. She's been on the podcast before, but she's actually an in-real-life friend. We met actually at NARO, the She Works His Way conference last year. And I love her heart for this. We share a mutual passion on emotions and physical health. And she actually shares a lot of her journey as well of how she transitioned from pharmaceuticals into natural base, and not that anything's wrong with that, but we really talk of this episode about emotions, which you guys know I'm all about. Some things I want you to know about Carrie is that she's Christian, she's a wife, she's a mom, she's an integrative health pharmacist, and she loves her essential oils. I mean, I love essential oils too, so perfect. But really, this is just about helping women prioritize their health. And this is one of her biggest passions as well, because she's seen how broken the healthcare system can be. So she wants to help women just learn, apply, and teach others as well as she's teaching them. But this episode is really for you if you don't really think about the way that our emotions impact our health, impact our thoughts. It's a lot of what I talk about in my new book. I actually dedicate an entire chapter in my book on understanding emotions and feelings and the critical role that those play in our healing journey, whether it's physical or emotional or spiritual healing journey. So you're going to want to listen to this episode if you really just never realized, or you want to take your thoughts captive, or if you want just this better understanding. Because here's the thing, when we know better, we do better, right? That is what I believe. So let us begin to know better so that we can do better, so that we can show up differently. My new book is coming out. You can sign up, download. It's coming. I cannot wait. Head to the link in the show notes below so that you make sure you are on my newsletter so you get all the special things. Because I'm telling you, podcast listeners are going to get a special treat very soon. Without further ado, let's go ahead and get to this conversation. Carrie, I am so excited to have you back as a guest. And you and I were going back and forth, and it's a topic that actually both of us really like to talk about, how our emotions and feelings can really impact our physical health. And I don't think it's talked about enough, really, of just how much our body works together, and feelings and our emotions are, I mean, they work together with our physical health. So why don't we start off with just the definition, like what is repressed emotions?
Yeah. Well, you might could give a better definition than me perhaps. And let me first say, I'm so glad to be back on with you. I've really enjoyed getting to know you offline as well as online. And I do think we talk a lot of our stuff intermingles, right? We have a lot of the same type of things that we share, because they are very important to our whole life, holistically looking at it that way. But to answer your question, repressed emotions to me are just emotions that we tend to stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm definitely a stuffer rather than just a let it all out type of person, or I used to be, let's say. And I've realized how bad that is for my health, but also for my like mental health as well, for my physical and for my mental. So to me, that's what repressed emotions are. And I can't wait to kind of dig in what does that actually do for our physical mm-hmm. health? Because that's what I'm sort of loving to talk about these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I think for me, especially, I really have gotten into this emotion feeling because I was that emotional roller coaster girl, and coming out of that and recognizing the hate, the bitterness, all of those things that I carried for so long that I kind of carried as a prize for mm-hmm. my pain. And I don't think we realize that we do that.
Yeah.
It really was affecting my physical health, especially fear. We don't even realize how fear yeah. impacts our physical health. And when we think about suppression and, you know, the repression of feelings, it's really one, we're conscious of it, one, we're unconscious. So repression is really, right. we're not even aware that we're doing this. So what do you think impacts it the most, like our physical health? What do you see kind of maybe symptom wise? Have you, because I know you work with a lot of women, Mm-hmm. And if you want to give a little bit of history about where you started and what you do now, but I know you've worked with a lot of women in this area.
Yeah, definitely. So I will just a little bit of a background on myself. So I did start out at being a traditionally trained pharmacist and was just not okay with being giving out Band-Aids all day long, and just saw where the medical system was going as a whole, and sort of wanted to be part of the solution to that versus just continuing to do a job that I didn't really feel very passionate about. And so long story short, I've worked with thousands of women at this point just to be able to help them with natural tools. That's sort of how I started. Then last year, I went back and got another degree so that I can kind of dig in a little bit deeper to their health. And I just am one that, you know, there are modern Band-Aids, and then there's even holistic Band-Aids, right? I mean, we can give a supplement, or I can tell you to use an essential oil or do some, you know, this or that, but is it really getting to the root of the issue? That's what I want to know, because I believe that God brought us here because he wants us to do his work. And if we are clogged with all of these emotions, or if we're not physically where we can show up and be our best, then I don't really think that we can do our best for his work, right? That our mission field, right, is right in front of us. And so I really want to equip women to be the best so that they can go out and do God's work. That's really why I love to show up. But as far as the play with emotions and what it does to our health, you know, I really am, you know, you mentioned kind of this roller coaster that you went through with the different things. I'm very good at just putting things away in a little box and sort of ignoring it. I'm really good at that.
My friend called it cubby holes. She was like, I can just put, I have all these cubby holes, and they all have their own like names of everything going on in my life. And when I want to pick up that cubby hole, then I will.
Right. So it's just easier, right? It's just neater. And I'm one that really, I do tend to want to keep things simple and easy versus complicated. I say that in quotation marks because sometimes emotions are complicated, and it's just easier to put them in the little box and deal with them later. And even when I think back to childhood and to, you know, earlier in my life, a lot of times I simply just can't remember because I have stuffed those feelings and emotions and thoughts in a box. And so it's been a little bit interesting for me trying to kind of go through some of those things and work through things. And it's definitely a process. But when we repress emotions and we don't really feel them, it actually puts our body in fight or flight mode. And there's so many different things that come along with that. And fight or flight is something that it's a natural process for our body to be in, but we should be in that state and then out of that state, right? We should not live in that state. And, you know, a lot of people think when they're in fight or flight, they would be able to tell it, right? They would feel a certain way, or, you know, their heart rate would be up even. That's one way to feel it, but physically. But when we repress these emotions, we're subconsciously putting ourselves in that fight or flight mode. And to speak about it from a physical standpoint, your body cannot heal if it is in fight or flight mode. It's just not possible. Your body is very smart. Our God made our body to survive, because that's just how he made it. And it's going to do that without fail. And it's not messing up, right? When it does these sort of systems, and it has this cycle that it gets into when it's in fight or flight mode. That is what happens when you have repressed emotions. And we can definitely talk more about what happens in that fight or flight mode, but that is actually physically what is going on when we repress emotions. And that could be for days, weeks, months, years.
Yeah, no, that's true. I do want to make it a little practical, give them a vision of what it really means to be in fight or flight. So practical examples, you know, palms sweaty, maybe your heart starts to race. Can you give us examples like that? Because I know we often hear that word. Mm-hmm. So let's kind of break it down of what it looks like. How would you physically feel this? How would you know that you're even in it if you don't know that you're in it, kind of thing?
Yeah, sure. So you mentioned a few things. And, you know, fight or flight is the word actually says what it is you're preparing your body to do. And that means to run away from something, a threat, to, you know, if you're being chased by a tiger, like that's actually what your fight or flight system is supposed to be able to help your body to do. But A few ways that you would know that you're in that is the sweaty palms. It is the increased heart rate. It might be sweating. It could even be like a headache because you're just kind of ramped up. So I think we all have these symptoms and sort of cues, I guess you could say, from when we are a little bit stressed. And I think sometimes we've been in that stressful state for so long that our body adapts to that because, again, it's made to do that.
Yeah.
But it's not a good thing that it does that because then we're used to it, right? We've adapted to it, which is not a good thing.
When you were just talking, I wrote down three things: normal, common, and stress. And I think what happens is when we get a headache, when we have an upset stomach, or, you know, you just feel like your stomach's like woozy or uneasy, that also can be a symptom of fight or flight. And I think when we start to say, well, that's normal. I just have a headache because that's normal. Mm-hmm. And a lot of things are common, but we kind of idolize them as normal, which then once we normalize it, we no longer question it. And a lot of that can even go back to stress, like what you were saying. So stress can actually cause the headaches. It can cause the fatigue. So why don't you talk a little bit about maybe those differences of what stress can really look like in our lives? Because I don't think we realize, I mean, stress is a huge culprit of a lot of chronic illnesses, especially if we, like you said, have lived in fight or flight for years, like I did, where I had a lot of physical symptoms after I finally felt safe, you know, safe emotionally and physically. So why don't you like kind of talk a little bit about the stress response and what that really does look like and what things can look normal versus stress as well?
Yes, definitely. So there are different types of stressors on our body. So there are work-life emotional stress, and that's kind of where the repressed emotions would fall. Exercise is a stress to our body. Also, digestive issues can be a huge stressor to our body, which is actually a cycle because stress can cause digestive issues, but digestive issues cause stress on our body. So I think as a whole, you have to know that there's a lot of different, it's coming at you from a lot of different viewpoints, let's say. So as far as what stress is doing to your body over a period of time, so every time that you are in a stressful situation, your body releases something called cortisol, and that's the stress hormone. And cortisol is meant to get your body ready to go run, to go, do whatever it needs to do to get away from the threat. And so it can increase your blood sugar. It stops the production of hormones. It can it really stops your digestive system because you can either be in fight or flight or you can be in what's called rest and digest. So you can't be digesting food when you're in fight or flight very well at all. And I know that our bodies can adapt, but that's just not what it's meant to do in that state because, again, it's putting all its energy toward going to fight this threat. And so those things are really important when you think about being as a woman. Stress is very hard on your body as a woman. Your hormones really don't have much of a chance to be balanced whenever you are in this fight or flight stage because, again, the cortisol, there's this whole pathway that really just gets forgotten about, let's say, whenever you are in that fight or flight because your body's wanting to produce more cortisol. And that means it's going to, like I said, forget about those hormones because that's a whole different pathway that it's just going past. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like with women, it's something that we really need to think about. And I know we're going to kind of focus on repressed emotions today, but I want you to see how this really fits in with your entire physical health and your mental health, right? It's all one. And this may be a little bit of a different subject, but whenever we are just so focused on what we want to change and we just feel like we can't get past it, that's another way that we just put our body in that fight or flight. And I think sometimes with repressed emotions, it's like we want something to change, but we're not really ready to go dig and kind of deal with the things that we've stuffed away. And so it's just this cycle that we get into it's very hard on us as females.
Yeah, I agree. Especially when I talk with women even about the physical side, like the fitness side, you said, you know, we think, well, I got to lose weight, so I got to increase the intensity. Right. And I always tell women, I'm like, it isn't about the intensity. Because if you're living in a stressful environment, you feel stressed 24/7, that intense workout is only going to make you feel more stressed because it's a stressor. And we don't, we don't think about that as being a stressor because it's supposed to be good, right?
Exactly.
And so why don't you define, like, what is your definition of stress? Because we hear that word all the time. So how would you maybe make this even more understandable so that they're like, oh yeah, I'm operating in stress, because they can, you know, like sometimes hearing a definition just makes things sound even more like understandable.
Sure. You know, and that's kind of a hard definition, right? Because I think stress can look different for everyone, but I just want you to, I want you to think about these things. And then you might make your own determination from that. Is it hard for you to slow down? Is it hard for you to take a break? Can you just sit for 10 or 15 minutes and not feel like you just are coming out of your skin, right? Is it hard for you to wind down at night? Do you get a good night's sleep? You know, can you take a day off of work and not, it doesn't, you know, make you feel like you're behind, right? I think those types of things, if we're like, if you answered, you know, that you couldn't do any of those things, I think that stress is in your life has taken over. You know, like I said, stress can have a lot of forms in our life. It's work, life, emotional. It's that digestive stress. It's the stress that comes from, like you said, excessive exercise, because that's our outlet. I see that a lot with women. And, you know, and I'm never going to tell you that exercise is terrible for you, because obviously God made our bodies to move, but our body is something that needs to be respected. And when we're trying to just beat it up and make it do what we want it to do, it's not designed to work like that, right? God wants us to rest, but he also wants us to honor our bodies with movement and with good nourishing food and to laugh and to be with people and to get off our phones, right? All of these things really do make a big difference, but sometimes we overlook them because we're looking for a quick fix. And there is no quick fix. All of these things really play a part in trying to decrease that stress on our life and on our body.
Yeah. I know we kind of talked about stress a lot, but when we have these unmet expectations or a situation didn't go as planned, that can cause stress in your life instantly. You know, you had this work project and something happened and it just didn't go the way you thought it was supposed to go. Stress. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of this unmet expectation, this, you know, something that happened that you felt like you couldn't control. And really that comes with its own set of emotions and its own set of then feelings and beliefs that we would carry about that.
Yeah.
Which then when we think about stress, we think about the tight shoulders, which I get actually a lot. Like that's where I carry it, you know, or we get the headache. And so, you know, in a world that kind of idolizes busy and stress, like it's almost, you know, how you do it. I'm stressed and I'm really busy. You know, it's like this very common thing. And something I like to say is that, you know, pain and feelings is a place of visitation, but it shouldn't be a place of habitation. Mm. How can you, what would you help women? Or I know it's tips and tricks, but just what things would you tell women to look for or pursue when the world says you should be stressed all the time or you should just be busy? Like, what would you encourage women, or how would you kind of walk them through that yourself?
Sure. You have to be countercultural about it, right? I mean, and I know we're both business owners. Not everybody that's listening to this is, but we all have expectations of those around us. And I think realizing that you can't please everyone and that you have to take care of yourself before you can really pour into other people. I know that I need to take care of myself so that I can be a best mom and wife that I can be. And also, of course, show up for the people that I work with and share this message that God's given me. I know that's very important. And I think we have to look at the Bible, right? What we want to be like Jesus. And so what did he do, right? He didn't stop pouring into people and just go live, you know, in a hole in the woods, right? He took care of himself. He took time. He took quiet time. And then he poured into other people. And it's something that I think it's a lot of times it's either like one or the other. We're to one extreme or we're to the other. But I also think that everybody's different in that aspect. I mean, I know for myself, I have to have quiet time. Like nobody's talking to me. Nobody needs me. I just need quiet. Everybody's not like that. So I think you have to know, how do you recharge in that way? But also we have to realize we're not going to please everyone. And ultimately we have to please Jesus. Like, that's who I'm here to please. And I feel like when we look around in the world, it's easy to want to please those around us first, but we know that we have to want to please him first. And I think that to me has taken the biggest load off of myself, to know that if I let someone down, of course, I'm going to try to do better next time if it was my fault. But I have to also realize that I can't please everyone, and I have to do what I feel like I'm called to do, and that be it. And you can't do everything in one day either.
Yeah, that's true. See, time and harvest.
That's right.
Why don't we talk a little bit, and we'll kind of wrap this up, of the backwards way. So if they're feeling those physical symptoms of repressed emotions, how would you kind of rework that so that they can get back to working through those emotions? You know, if somebody comes to you and they're having all these symptoms and you get to the point where you're like, okay, this could be something deeper, mm-hmm. how can you kind of maybe help them work backwards to get to that root?
Sure. I have found writing it down is very important because, or, you know, you have to know about you and what's going to help you the most. But a lot of times I have so many thoughts up here, like I need to get them out. And I would say most people are like that. So whether it's journaling or whether it's talking with someone else, or maybe it's a combination of both, just trying to get off your chest what you feel is heavy. I love to write it down. I love to just breathe. When we're in the fight or flight mode, we don't breathe deeply. And so just to get out, to help me get out of that, I find that just taking a few moments and taking some really deep breaths help me to get out of that stressful mode. Now, of course, when I'm working or when I'm doing things, it's okay to be in that mode, but you have to get out. Like I know when I finish my workday, I've got to get out of that mode before I go in to be with my kids, or else it's just going to be this one long string of just me being in stress mode. And I can't do that. I don't show up well as myself. I get irritable. I take it out on the ones I love the most. And we tend to do that. So I would say for me, it is journaling. I do love to listen to Christian music. That does calm me and just make me focus on what really matters. And I also love to just lay back and breathe in deep, whether that's standing or sitting or lying. And some people call that meditation, of course. You can call it whatever you want to. But the breathing, there is physical symptoms that will shift whenever you do take those really deep breaths.
Yeah. I was kind of laughing inside my head because whenever my husband gets on, like, he just really irritates me, you know, and we do this all the time. And I say that with so much love, but I'll be like, I'll like take these really deep breaths in front of him. And he'll be like, why are you breathing so heavy? Cause I'll start counting. I'll be like, what? You know, and we do that to each other. But what happens really is, yes, I'm taking deep breaths because I'm irritated, but then we end up laughing at each other. So, but it just reminded me of that because I'm like, okay, Jess, just take a deep breath. Don't be irritated. You know, like,
it's so true. It really does help, though.
It does. Yeah, absolutely. And this, again, I think we don't have to, I know it's a big topic and it can feel overwhelming. And I think, like you said, taking just even a few moments to yourself, you know, there's so many narratives, you know, time for yourself is bad and you shouldn't think about yourself. And there's all these different narratives out there, but it is true that I don't think, you know, Jesus would want you walking around as this numb person. Mm-hmm. Trying to just fill up everybody's cup when you have nothing in yours, especially not even spending time with him because you're trying to make everybody else happy. And you say, well, I'm so busy. I can't have time with you, but I'm trying to do all these things for you. And, right. You know, works are not the point. So what do you want to encourage and leave women with?
I just want to encourage them with, you know, it's okay to look different from the way the world looks. I know that it might not be easy to really take time for yourself and maybe, you know, forgo on some of their plans or tell people that you can't do this or that. And sometimes we become the yes people as women. And of course, we want to do things but for the Lord, right? But I think sometimes we can get in that bad cycle of just saying yes to everything. So I just want you to know that whenever you take care of yourself like this, you are going to look different than what the world's doing. And that's not a bad thing. As Christians, I believe that we should look different. We should try to be closer to Jesus. And whenever we really seek to get rid of some of these repressed emotions. I feel like we're getting closer and closer to Him because we're just opening up. We're opening up our heart. We're leaning into what He's calling you to do, right? He wants us to be free. He wants us, He doesn't want us to be way down and heavy. And so that takes time. It's not going to happen overnight, but it is something that you have to be committed to and consistent with. And again, it's going to look different than maybe the world says it should. But again, I think that it should.
Mm-hmm. Somebody on one of my Bible studies recently, she said, "I am not the creator, I'm the believer." And I thought that was so impactful, because whether it's the stress of feeling like you have to do everything, or you have to, you know, plant the seed, water the seed, and grow the seed, is that we try to take everything into our hands, which causes stress, and it causes those repressed emotions or the suppressed emotions. And we forget that we're not responsible for the harvest. We're responsible for the seed and watering. And so I think just such a good word. So how can women find out more about you, Carrie?
Yeah. Well, it's been an honor to be on here with you again, Jessica. I appreciate you having me on. You can connect with me on Instagram. I love to show up there. It's just my name, Carrie Cootie. That's my handle. And then my website is also my name, carriecootie.com. And you can go to the Work With Me tab and just see how we might could, you know, how I might could be of service to you. And you can always get in touch with me there. Or, of course, you can message me on Instagram.
Awesome. Well, I'll make sure to include all those in the show notes below. So, Carrie, thanks so much for joining me today. I know the women are going to be so blessed.
My pleasure.